Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We made it through the week, folks. Little cooler out there, little rain, which is kind of nice. Need to drive safely home. We want to get you home so you can enjoy the weekend. As always, you can check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Twins, Tigers, 6:30 pregame tonight. Twins with a win last night. We'll talk a little bit about baseball here in a little bit. But excited. They have the Rangers on Saturday and Sunday as well. And then next Monday, Tuesday, Twins, Guardians. They pick up those two games. They have a chance to have a pretty big lead coming out of this weekend in the first 2 days of next week. Yeah, I'm just going to take a look. They play 162 games, and right now the Minnesota Twins are at 130. So they have 32 games left. And so you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. There's five. That gets you down to 27. If you could build that lead up, it's six right now. If you get that lead to eight or nine, man, that's going to help. That's going to help your pitching rotation. It's going to help a lot of different things. So good luck to the Twins coming up this weekend. Want to thank the sponsors of our show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broadlands Medical Center. I want to thank all of them for being a part of the show, and we will talking about all four of them throughout the show today. So, once again, glad the weekend's here. Exciting, a lot of exciting stuff going on. A lot of baseball going on. High school football starts tonight. I'm probably going to do that in the second hour, talk a little bit about the 5A games that are up there tonight. The Tour Championship, the last golf tournament of the 2023 season is in its second round right now. We'll talk a little bit about it as well. We have a few other things that that are out there today. Some ones that have I get updates all the time. I get people saying, "Hey, you should talk about this. Hey, you should talk about that." So I did a couple of those today, and I want to go back on this one. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, kind of even a bigger one today, but protests demanding that Luis Rubiales be dismissed as the Spanish Federation, Soccer Federation president, alongside chants for solidarity with the player Jenny Hermoso, are taking place outside their headquarters in Madrid this evening. Spain's women football team announced that they will not play another match until Spanish football president Luis Rubiales resigns, which he refuses to do. Rubiales grabbed a team member, Jenny Hermoso, and planted a non-consensual kiss on her lips at the World Cup final. And for the crowd, because took some hits on social media last night. Well, like it's a big deal. Okay, it is a big deal. You're talking about someone who is in charge of the charge of Spain's soccer federation. You can't do that. You can't walk into your place of work and walk up to the opposite sex and plant a kiss on their face and expect that there be no ramifications for doing it. It's just not, you can't do that. And you especially can't do that in the administrator to a player. I mean, that goes beyond a no-no. The fact that he said it's consensual, well, where did you get the consent from? Because she was walking through a line to shake hands. It's a bad look, and somebody is feeding him bad advice, thinking, well, I mean, a typical thing and something that women's sports fight all the time. Hey, it'll go away. Nobody cares. Well, I think there's enough people out there that care that's going to make it quite a bit bigger of a story, and I do believe that he will be resigning in the next couple of days. I saw this one out there today, too. and it is from Brett McMurphy was the first one. Chris Williams talked about it a little bit today. I've posted on social media about it today, and I'm trying to figure out why it bothers me a little bit, but I also like it a little bit. So I'm going to throw it out there, and then, you know, I'm going to see how it sounds even when I read it out loud. But the Big Ten will require its football programs to release player availability reports 2 hours before each conference game's kickoff, pending approval by league presidents. I'm trying to listen. I think that is in a conference and in a sport like football, the NFL has to do this. Professional leagues have to do this. Here's the bad side of it, right? A lot of people are saying, "Hey, this is because of sports gambling," and I don't think I can fight that. It seems to me it's a tad on that side. I understand in professional football why that happens, why there are injury reports, why all of this is out in the open. They are highly paid players, and there is a huge sports betting and gambling part to the NFL, to all professional sports, pretty much. Golf, basketball, hockey, baseball, football. So to a certain extent, I understand some of that. To a lesser extent, you know, I wish that they would make the NBA do this more. I've said this before, that I have gone to Minneapolis, to Minnesota, to go to a Timberwolves game for the exact reason of getting to see Steph Curry or Klay Thompson with my nephew and his family, Uncle Aaron and Kale, and we have yet to ever get to see any of them play, because it's usually on back-to-backs or they're on a travel and they're heading home and they fly their stars home. And I think that is, I don't like that. Here's the thing that I don't, the other part of this, I want to tell you that it's not about sports betting, but it sure lends itself to be about that. The secondary thing is, you know, if you, in professional sports, you have an injury list, and people get fined and punished if they fool around with the injury list. I don't know. I feel bad, and so this is a combination of why I get angry with collegiate sports in general sometimes, and not the sports. I'm talking about the administration. Is this does seem like it fulfills a little sports betting part on there, and the fact that some of these conferences and some of these institutions can make money off sports betting in a collegiate athletic space. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, but the fact that it got dumped on a, I was trying to see what time that this one hit. It was an hour ago. The thing that it gets dropped on a 3 o'clock Central time on a Friday before week zero starts tomorrow. I don't know. I'm going to have to take a step back and look. I'll mark this one to see, because I'm curious, because Scott looks at things a lot differently than I do, and I'm curious to see what his thought process is on this. And if I listen to my wife, I should also run my thought processes through Randy Wayhofer, the assistant GM and vice president of the Iowa Cubs, because he does such a good job of articulating things that I need him to articulate for me. it's just an interesting thing. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the whole thing. Here's one of these things, and if you listen to different areas of sports radio, and I try to listen at some point in times throughout the day, I listen to CBS, I listen to ESPN, I listen to Fox, and I'm on social media. You would think that Kenny Pickett, because of last night's game against the Atlanta Falcons, okay, let's start there, against the Atlanta Falcons, not playing ones-on-ones, because not a lot of other ones were, I mean, some ones were out there. You would think because he went 4-for-4 passing, a 21.5-yard average and 86 passing yards and a 118 quarterback rating and led touchdowns on two different drives, that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to make the Super Bowl, because that's what these folks were talking about today. And it seems strange to me that of all the things that are going on, you have baseball races, you have, like I said, the Tour Championship. I know golf doesn't carry as much as the NFL, but it's preseason. Aaron Rodgers hasn't even stepped on the field in pads until this weekend. Nobody's running plays, nobody's running defenses, and for Kenny Pickett's sake, no one's running, you know, a complicated offense. It's a bunch of people getting used to getting hit and being on a field with players that you don't know everything about. That's the toughest thing for all these guys, collegiate, high school, everybody. When you practice against yourself, everybody knows your tendencies. Everybody knows all that, and it's hard to get a good read on what's going on. Do I think that Kenny Pickett is going to have a good year? I think there's a possibility, and I think the number one reason why it's a possibility is he plays for Mike Tomlin. Now, I heard people today going, you know, they could be 13-4. If the Pittsburgh Steelers are 13-4 this year, Jamie Gipple is going to be the happiest man in the world. One of my best friends, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. That's why we get along so well. Since I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, it's just love at first sight. I'm like, I get that, but on the other hand, so they pick up Kenny Pickett today, but trash Anthony Richardson a little bit, even though he led the Indianapolis Colts on two touchdown drives. He was 7-for-17 for 80 yards, threw a touchdown pass, did the eagle fly thing, which he shouldn't do, but you're not stopping these guys from doing stuff like that. Every time they do that, and every social media hit on him today puts dollars in Anthony Richardson's pocket. He's not going to care about that. But, you know, you praise Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett is a second-year football player that started a lot of games for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kenny Pickett should look good against an Atlanta Falcons second and third team defense. And it's not like the Atlanta Falcons are predicted to be a really good football team. But it's funny how they can put a narrative out there. And trust me, I put narratives out there. I'm going to go all in again on my narrative that I have, that I think before the end of the year this year, that the Arizona Cardinals are getting rid of everybody else, and they're trying to save money, and they're trying to start with a new quarterback next year. And if you're listening to Drake May and Caleb Williams, they're two of we haven't had two quarterbacks like that come in since in the Peyton Manning era. And I get it. Caleb Williams plays for a high Division I football team, and he's fun to watch. And he doesn't have the same issues that the quarterbacks that came out this year did. He has a strong arm. He has mobility. He's not small. He's not any of those things. And he plays good competition. And he runs he's set up in college on a professional offensive set, not like some others that some of the things. I mean, and this is one, and it has nothing. I try not to talk about Ohio State because it's family, but Ohio State doesn't run a pro style offense. It's an offense that caters to quarterbacks making quick decisions with extremely good skill players. That's what they do. If you're a Michigan quarterback, that is more of a pro-style set offense because Jim Harbaugh's there. That's what he does. They run the ball. They block the way they do in the NFL. He wants wide receivers and tight ends to run like they do in the NFL. I mean, there's just a lot of different things that you can do in college football and win college football games. It's no different than watching the University of Iowa and the Iowa State University. It is one runs a pro-style offense. One runs a very good hybrid college offense. And both work. Now, they both have very good pro-style defenses, which is kind of fun to watch as well if you're a defensive type of guy. Listen, I think that Kenny Pickett has a really good chance. The only knock on Kenny Pickett was he played at Pittsburgh and that he has small hands. And he's been a quarterback he's probably 23 now, so he's been a quarterback pretty much since he was 13. So he's been quarterbacking with small hands for 10 years. I'm pretty sure that he can take care of that. That's one of the dumbest things that I hear. But there's, listen, they have to have something to talk about, and they have to have something to be a negative. Very strong arm, very, very good intelligence as well. So do I think that Kenny Pickett is going to be a Pro Bowler this year? No. Do I think Kenny Pickett can lead the Pittsburgh Steelers to another 9-7 season, maybe a 10-6 season? Absolutely. Or they'd be more than that. 10. If they do 10, it'd be 17, 10-7, 11-6. I could see that. It's a tough division though. Those are away games. That's hard to win. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700. The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Happy Friday, everybody. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Welcome in. Enjoyed a little bit better weather today. Not as hot as it has been. A little rain as well. Drive safely home. Get to start out the weekend the right way. You're listening to us on 1700 The Champ and 101.3 Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Twins, Texas Rangers tonight at 6:30. Be looking forward to that. And this segment is brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay. One of the interesting things that popped up, I took a quick screenshot of this, and it was from a couple of different people out there about this whole women's national team and everything. It says, women's sports has never had the luxury of just talking about the sport. It always has to be more... And it always has to be about more. And here we go again. World champions, history made, and instead of being able to celebrate a dream come true, it's about the fight for basic respect. And that fight for basic respect comes from the simple fact that that's not something that had happened by somebody who's in charge of your organization. A handshake, a hug, you know, not a kiss on the lips. I mean, it just, it's weird. And it's, I don't know. Jumping around just a little bit as well. One of the things that we talked about yesterday, we talked about it quite a bit actually yesterday, was Shohei Ohtani. And I listened, so you had a whole day to take a step back and and try to figure out what's really going to happen. A lot of people said, hey, he with his arm like that, he should just shut it down and have it taken care of. Well, he can still hit. And he wants to hit. He's just that type of guy. The biggest thing, it wasn't during all of this, it wasn't, hey, is Shohei Ohtani, is he going to, you know, is he going to be okay? What's he going to do? All this. All it was about money. And it's fun to talk about money because he was getting ready to do something that there is probably no one out there. And here's the only tidbit to that is if hockey was a bigger sport, because Connor McDavid is to me, when I've watched him play, and when I was growing up, it was, well, later when I was growing up. So when I had the kids and we were watching hockey, but when I was growing up, it was a lot of different people. But it was Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and they were two different people. Wayne Gretzky was the flash and the speed, and Mario Lemieux was the same kind of shot making ability, but big and bold and just a bad dude. And you're like, oh, we're never going to see this again. And then Connor McDavid comes. And you know what Connor McDavid is? Both of them. He does both. He might be the best skater. He might be the fastest skater. He might be the best passer. He might be the best on shot. I mean, it's everything. And I think that he could be one of those people that could have that kind of salary, but the National Hockey League doesn't have that kind of salary structure. I think a little bit about NFL, but NFL is so much, it's a quarterback-driven league now, not a athlete-driven league. It's a quarterback-driven league. And quarterbacks make a lot of money, but they just can't get to that amount of money, and they can't get to that amount of money because they only play 16 games as well. I mean, that's a difficult thing, too. You can't take $600 million and divide that out by 16 games and make that work in any type of salary cap league. But getting back to the winning the World Cup, and you can't even go out and celebrate it because for no other apparent reason except for the fact that people like to be on both sides and like to fight about. There are people that said, hey, he had every right to do that. There are people that I have no idea who those people are. And then you have everybody that's completely upset about it, and he shouldn't be there, and he shouldn't be able to do that. And you should have the ability, the federation should have the ability to not even give him a choice of saying that he's not going to resign. I don't want him to resign. I want him to be fired. What he did is a fireable offense. But that's just not the way that it gets handled. And it drives me crazy that it's not handled that way. I thought this was really funny today as well. Caleb Williams, once again, we talked about him just a little bit earlier. He has a very good shot. He's a junior. He has a very good shot of winning back-to-back Heismans. Not easy to do. And he's a talent. And I said, what sets him apart from a lot of the new group of, you know, your Bryce Young and your Caleb Stroud and all of that, even back to, you know, your Johnny Manziel or Doug Flutie, are this, he has it all. He can run. He understands everything. He's got a cannon, and he's big. He's not Justin Herbert big, but he's more skilled than Justin Herbert. At least he's more skilled than Justin Herbert was in college. He said that he will not appear in the new NCAA football video game for the $500. And that's a conversation in its own. The fact that you want to put collegiate athletes on a game and all you're willing to pay is $500 on something that's probably going to make you $5 billion is a travesty in one. The funny thing about Caleb Williams is nobody believes that he's going to be back playing football next year at the collegiate level at USC in the Big Ten because he is draft eligible this year. He's going to play in the NFL. But he said he wouldn't have done it anyway. I think that somebody is going to have to rein in a little bit of that. Once again, on things that I want the NCAA to be out there and be out in front of and going through and doing that, they're not. Do you know what the NCAA, it was reported today, you know what the NCAA is out doing right now? Is trying to dig up information and dig up facts about teams and players who received name, image, and likeness before it was started at the actual date that it started, or have reason to believe that these individuals had been getting some type of incentive to go to a school in that's what they're out there looking for. So something that they have railed against since it began, they're going to retroactively go back and dig up on people now after the fact. They didn't do it before because that was taking these individuals out of the collegiate game and it was costing them money because it was knocking ratings down. If you were catching up with these kids and what they were doing and they weren't able to play football, that takes away revenue. Well, now they're losing revenue, and they're losing revenue to the individuals who are actually the people that are most responsible for the revenue. And so now they're trying to go the other way. It is an archaic institution that needs to go away. And it's so difficult to make that happen because the one institution that can make it go away is Congress, which is so corrupt that people are trying to figure out a way to change Congress. It's a vicious circle, and if you think that you're going to have individuals figure this out and make this fair for the universities, for the student athletes, for the coaches, and for the fans, you're crazy because it doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist, and we're paying the price for, you know, we're in a little bit of anarchy right now just because we don't have leadership. And the reason we don't have leadership is they do not know how to lead. All they know how to do is punish and try to keep this under everybody's thumb so they can make the most amount of money that they can. I don't think there would be anybody that would come and fight me on the radio that the NCAA is more involved and more generated towards making money than they are to do what they're supposed to do, which is twofold. They're supposed to make collegiate athletics be at the utmost respect of everyone and take care of the student athletes and do the same for there, to have this be above board and most respected of anything. And they have failed on both accounts. And there's not a lot of people out there that are going, hey, you know what? I'm going to go in here and I want to clean it up, because I don't think you can get rid of all the minutiae and the people. They're ingrained. I mean, they've ingrained themselves into this institution that makes them a lot of money. The simple fact in the beginning that all of this started in the beginning because they had a football player, a basketball player, could have been a baseball player in a game, and they were making money off of it, but it wasn't okay for these collegiate athletes to be making money off of it because they were getting a scholarship. So they were getting, let's say, at the top of the scale, $75,000 a year. You stay for 4 years because they were hindering you on going anywhere in those years. That's 300 grand per student athlete. And that's high. Everybody knows that's high. And the profit being made off of all of that and off of all of them is 1,000 times that, which they get no cut of. It is a very, very, very weird deal. I have a whole, so I'm going to hold this for the last segment of this first hour. There's a lot of media stuff out there today. I want to wish somebody a great recovery. We had a tragic loss, and I have no idea if you think that WWE is sports entertainment or whatever. We had a very big loss that affected a lot of people and affected a lot of athletes because of all these athletes' ties to WWE. We're going to talk about that today as well. There's just a lot of different things. I'm sitting here checking out on, you can tell that I'm getting old because one of my favorite things to watch is, I love to watch golf. It is the BMW Tour Championship, and as it stands right now, Victor Hovland is at 16 under through 17. Scottie Scheffler is at 14 under. And Colin Morikawa is at 14 under, and they have one hole left to play. Or Colin has two holes left to play. I'll talk more about that as we move along as well. This is one that is out there, and I just want to add a couple more things because I had a couple of people text in trying to figure out if the NCAA will require the Big Ten to the Big Ten right now wants to require its football programs to release player availability reports 2 hours before each conference game and kickoff. And this is the issue that I have with the NCAA. It is, well, where's the NCAA coming out and saying, well, okay, you can ask them to do that, but if it's not a rule or if other conferences aren't having to do the same, why should the Big Ten have to be doing that? We need somebody to step up and bring this to the forefront and say, one, why are you doing it? And two, is it the thing to do? And do we have agreement on doing it? Or why is it just the Big Ten? And I don't believe that you can, I don't believe that's going to work. I don't think that you can ask the Big Ten to do something that other conferences do not have to do. They can try, but that doesn't mean that the people have to follow through with it. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans, bringing your sports your way every day. I'll be back. Last segment of this first hour. Be right back. Welcome back in and happy Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Tonight, Twins Texas Rangers 6:30 pregame. You get a little bit of Zach Gelb show and then we jump right into Minnesota Twins baseball. The Guardians are in Toronto tonight, so we got to keep winning. So we'll talk about that here in a few. We also have some high school football tonight. I'm going to try to take care of a little bit of that at the top of the second hour. So right when we get done with this, we'll go to the top of the hour break, and I'll jump into some high school football. A little bit nicer weather, might have some rain, so hopefully that all stays away, but it's a lot nicer out than what it's been for the last 4 or 5 days. So a good way to start out the Iowa high school football season. This segment is going to be brought to you by Broadlawns Hospital, Broadlawns Medical Center. A lot of stuff going on at Broadlawns, and I have to – Scott wrote this down. I have to look at my keychain to make sure that I get this ingrained into my brain. Bolder, better, brighter. They're trying to change the way that of your hospital experience, changed the way of what some people think of Broadlawns. And boy, are they turning a corner and doing some crazy, unbelievably good things. Medical center over by Drake area. They just have a lot of stuff going on, and we're in our infancy of doing things with Broadlawns, but we always want to mention their name. So Broadlawns Medical Center, top of the line, a lot of great things coming out about them. So we're really happy to be talking about them. Okay. So, what was I so inherently, I can't even remember what I was going to say, but there's this, I usually do potpourri in this segment right here. And there's a few of them out there. Noah Lyles today wins the 200. He runs the second fastest 200 of all time. He is a double winner, so he won the 100 and the 200. He's the first one to do that since Usain Bolt in 2015. Just a crazy, crazy, crazy thing for him, and very excited for him. One of the things that popped up on here today in my potpourri kind of segment that I kind of clicked off on, the Denver Broncos were purchased last year. They were purchased by one of the Waltons of the Walmart store in fame and wealth. They just finished up their video board. It is the tallest video board in North America. Now, until someone puts in one bigger, but for the time being, it is. I mean, it is. I'm looking at the. It is in the one of the end zones, and it pretty much takes up the whole entire. When you look at how the seating comes around in the end zone, and that it takes up that almost that whole open space. That is unbelievable. So, man, that's big. Ryder Cup. So we are finishing up the tour, PGA Tour season, as we speak right now. Ryder Cup is 5 weeks from today, in Rome, which is going to be cool and is a huge. It's one of the bigger things that I love. I love golf. I love watching golf. That's going to be a really big deal. So looking forward to that happening. I sometimes get mad at Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale is a sports broadcasting hero to me, but sometimes I think he says things that have more to do with his lengthy time with the NCAA and with basketball than it does the right thing. But I still love the man. And he just went through 5 weeks of radiation for vocal cord. He had cancer on his vocal cords. I hope him all the well. I hope he gets to come back and call some games. I hope this takes pretty well. I mean, the sport is, no matter what, the sport's going to miss him. If they're going to miss him, if he can't do his stuff, if he can't do his, it's awesome, baby. Come on. I mean, that my whole childhood is that. My whole adult life is that. One of the things that's out there today is all the talk about ESPN and Disney and everything. The president of Contech, his name is Burke Magnus. I've read a couple of things about him. He seems like a really good dude. They've got some things up their sleeve. He's got Pat McAfee coming in. Shannon Sharp coming in to deal with Stephen A. Smith. But they have had a lot of layoffs. They've had a lot of upheaval. And he says in here that he likes the hand that he's dealt. And I don't doubt that. And it's a corporation, so there are a lot of restraints. And it didn't seem like they were acting with a lot of restraints. And even Disney now is backing up and going, okay, we do have parameters. We have restraints on what we can spend and what we can do. We just can't keep going, oh, yeah, we can do that. Oh, yeah, we can do that. I read through their docket for Sports Talk Radio. Sports Talk Radio is a fickle business, folks. It's one day you're up, one day you're down, one week you're up. I mean, you have, like we've said, we're getting ready for 20, even more than that, because college basketball jumps right in there too. So you're looking at a good 20 weeks, 21, 22, maybe even up to 26 weeks. But that's only half the year. I mean, you have some stuff that's not as easy to talk about. You got a lot of different things. This is the good time coming in, but they changed their whole morning program, and except for Mike Greenberg having his time slot that he has, that I love Mike Greenberg. I love listening to him. He is gone more than he is ever there, but he also is no longer doing NBA stuff, but they changed a lot, and they have a lot of people that they're hoping they hit on, because I've listened to a few that are getting jobs. A lot of them aren't getting jobs. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in sports talk radio. I mean, it's just to see where people land. It's that time of year. Speaking of which, so Keyshawn Johnson was one of those. He was one of those folks that got let go from the early morning AM radio show and did a lot of stuff for their NFL side of everything. He was let go, but he was one of the very few who had a guaranteed contract. It is reported today and announced today that Keyshawn Johnson reached a buyout agreement with ESPN and is set to join Skip Bayless to take over Shannon Sharpe's spot to be his full-time partner. I also think they're going to bring in a couple other people and maybe do more of a round table as well. It'll be interesting to see. It's not my cup of tea, but when Keyshawn Johnson was talking football, I enjoyed listening to him on the radio. Very opinionated, and doesn't like it when his opinion gets questioned or stomped on, but it's something that you have to work through. So, and the last one, I got a minute left. One of the things that we're seeing right now, there is if you haven't known this, there is a Writers Guild of America. They're on strike. They are fighting the TV and movie theater executives. And I didn't think that it was really that big a deal until right now, because the movie that we've all been waiting for, which is Dune 2, because they, instead of just remaking Dune, they remade Dune into two parts. And part one was great, but it was the boring part of Dune. And the second part was supposed to be out already. It is done. It's finished. And they can't promote it, so they're not releasing it. It's making me angry. And I don't want to be angry. And the last, I don't have time for that one. So, because we are through the first hour on this Friday. It is the 25th of August already. We are football heavy coming up. I'm going to talk a little high school football when we come back. Go through some other sports that are out there today. A little stories that are going on. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday, second hour of this Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter is at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. And the website is 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins baseball tonight, 6:30 pregame. Tune in. We'll talk a little baseball here in a sec. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance, providing peace of mind and protecting the future of your buildings and its occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance are certified partners of Science Proven Real Science. Wow, easy for me to do on a Friday. Science Proven Microbial Control provides an advanced level janitorial and custodial services through data-driven research and development. Customers who participate in the Science Proven program can rest assured they are receiving the state-of-the-art surface protection, making their building environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and the Science Proven Microbial Control Program, feel free to reach out to one of the dedicated team members through their website at heritagebldg.com or call 515-868-0842 today. Heritage Building Maintenance. I want to thank them for being a part of our program. Okay, a little high school football. I have a little high school football update. So, I have some of the groupings here. So it's their groupings that they are in. So the first grouping is a grouping of Dowling Catholic, Ankeny Centennial, Urbandale, Des Moines Roosevelt, Sioux City North, and Des Moines East. Dowling has Cedar Rapids Kennedy this weekend. Ankeny Centennial has Ankeny. Urbandale has Indianola. Des Moines Roosevelt has Lincoln. Sioux City North and Sioux City and Des Moines East and Des Moines North. Group two is Southeast Polk, Johnston, Sioux City East, Waukee, Des Moines Lincoln, and Council Bluffs. Boy, what a tough grouping that is. Wow. Tonight, Southeast Polk plays Valley. Johnston plays Waukee Northwest. Sioux City East plays Glenwood. Waukee plays Ames. Des Moines Lincoln plays Roosevelt. And Council Bluffs plays at Sioux City. And in group three, this is when we go over to the other side of the state. You have Cedar Rapids, Kennedy, Bentendorf, Iowa City, Iowa City High, Dubuque, Hempstead, Davenport North, and Davenport Central. Kennedy plays Dowling, Bentendorf plays Pleasant Valley. Iowa City plays Joliet Catholic in Illinois. That's going to be a good game tonight. Dubuque Hempstead plays Washington, and Davenport North plays West, and Central plays at Clinton. Group four, we kind of jump. This is a more west to north a little bit. Valley plays Southeast Polk. Waukee Northwest plays Johnston. Ames plays Waukee. Waterloo West, Waterloo East. Marshalltown, Mason City, Ottumwa, Keokuk. And then we finish off with pretty much the east side. North, northeast side and east side. Cedar Falls plays Prairie. Pleasant Valley plays Bentendorf. Lindmar plays Dubuque. Davenport West, Davenport North. Muscatine plays Jefferson. Washington plays Hempstead. Liberty plays Iowa City Liberty, Iowa City West. Wow. That's a huge game for the first night. Ankeny Centennial again as well. So a lot of great games, a lot of great games out there. The only one is there is a shot that the Dowling Catholic Cedar Rapids Kennedy game is on tomorrow and not tonight. I cannot either confirm or deny that, but I think that is what we talked about the other day because of the heat, and even though it wasn't as bad today. So hoping for some good weather. We had a little bit of rain earlier this afternoon, and it's supposed to start cooling down. For it to get to 60-some degrees tonight, you're going to have something come through. So looking forward to that. But looking forward to high school football. We will always give high school football a spot on Fridays, and then we will recap on Mondays. It'll just be one of those things that we always do. Okay. So some of the other things that are still out there and still going on, I still want to talk a little baseball. I want to talk a little NFL. I want to talk a little college football. We still have just a few stories that are out there that are just kind of sticking around a little bit. And I'm trying to hit all of them. Ryan Clark. He works for CBS, I do believe, and he's really good. I enjoy him. He actually might work. I'm not going to get this wrong. So I'm going to. I have this feeling that he might work for. He might work for ESPN. I'm trying to see. Yep, he works for ESPN. I apologize for that. He was talking. He's really good. That's the one thing I do know. He is really, really good at what he does. And one of the things that is out there is, even though I think he enjoys what he does, but I think he wants to, his person he looks up to is John Lynch, played for Tampa Bay and for San Francisco, is in the San Francisco front office. I think that's what Ryan Clark would like to do in the near future as well, even though he does enjoy being on TV. It's going to be interesting. He's one of my favorite people to listen to, just because of all, just his background and the way that he looks at football. He looks at football a little differently than a lot of other people do. I'm more on the business side and more on the what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit more on the spiritual side of football, not the money making and all that on football. I thought this was very interesting today. Most expensive wide receiver rooms in the NFL in 2023. Number one on this list is the Broncos at $44 million. I would not have thought that. The Buccaneers are up there, $44 million. The Jags are up there at $42 million. The Raiders at $40 million. And a good chunk of that is sitting in jail. That's not a good thing. The Browns are at 39. The Dolphins are at 39. The Chargers are at 38. The Seahawks are at 37. The Commanders are at 35. The Bears are at 34. The Bills are at 31. And the Bengals are at 30. The interesting thing, that's the top 12. Chances of making the playoffs this year. Jags have a good shot. They're at number 3. I think the Dolphins have a good shot. They're at number 6. The Bills and the Bengals, I think, I don't think as much as the Bills, but I do on the Bengals. But it totally matters on how healthy their quarterbacks are. That's a lot of money for a lot of teams in their wide receiver rooms without having, I mean, the Buccaneers and Broncos have almost $45 million in their wide receiver rooms, and their quarterbacks were not good last year. The Raiders quarterback was not good last year. The Browns quarterback was not good. There's another $39 million. The Chargers as a team wasn't very good. The Seahawks at least made the playoffs. The Commanders, I think, are going to be a playoff team. If things fall right, I think the Bears are going to be a playoff team. And I believe that either the Bills or the Bengals, one of those two, are not going to make the playoff team. So that is going to be really, really exciting. So we talked a little bit about Kenny Pickett earlier today. And I think those are one of the things that people were talking. They're always in the, since 2017, there's always been a quarterback that had a breakout year after maybe struggling a little bit their first year. 2017, that was Carson Wentz. 2018, that was Patrick Mahomes. 2019, that was Lamar Jackson. 2020, even though my partner in crime, Scott, doesn't want to believe this, was Kyler Murray. 2021 was Joe Burrow. 2022 is Trevor Lawrence. Is 2023 going to be Kenny Pickett? Is 2023 going to be Tua? That's going to be an interesting... Is 2023 going to be Justin Herbert? I think for that, he has an offensive coordinator, came from Dallas, Kellen Moore. They paid him a lot of money. They paid him almost as much as they're paying their defensive coordinator. they almost paid him as much as they were paying their head coach. So it's going to be very interesting to see if that changes the outlook for the Chargers. They have talent on that team. they just lost some games last year that just makes you scratch your head. We talked a little bit about ESPN today. Listen, I enjoy everything about ESPN. I enjoy everything about CBS, Fox, NBC, anything that has sports going on and gives you the ability to watch, I watch. And we were talking about ESPN and you know, some of their struggles, a lot of their struggles and layoffs and all of that. They're part of the Disney company. Disney stock today hit a new nine-year low. If you bought and held the stock since June of 2014, adjusted for inflation and factoring in dividends, you have lost money. During the same time, the S&P 500 is up over 200%. And the person that this was coming from says it's more of, having views out there and pushing a certain view can cost you money. And I believe that to be true. And I believe if you believe in your cause or you believe in what you're saying, it doesn't matter. I mean, I get that it matters that it costs you money, but if you believe in it, you should be able to fight for it. I believe that they just tried to bite off too much. I don't think some of the things that they thought were moneymakers are moneymakers. And, it struggles. The NASCAR was one. NASCAR does a lot of stuff with ESPN. NASCAR is not as popular as it was a few years ago. I think it's having a little bit of a resurgence, but that definitely happens. So some good news today. Shohei Ohtani is in the lineup to DH tonight. And someone said, well, why would he be worth $300 million? He's not Aaron Judge, or he's not Mookie Betts. This is Shohei Ohtani this year, just in the things that are showing that they have here. He's batting .304. He leads the league in home runs with 44. He's driven in 91 runs, and he's stolen 17 bases. I think Shohei Ohtani is going to make a ton of money if he's hitting, and if he doesn't pitch again, he's going to make $400 million. And if it's not a big a deal as what they are, they're going in for second opinions, and they're looking at that, and they say he won't do any damage to it from hitting. If he comes back and he can play a role, then I believe he'll play a role. And I believe that role will be as a closer. So he comes in for an inning. I think that saves wear and tear on his arm. That doesn't mean that it's always going to be that way, and it's not going to be always going to be that easy. But we'll see. But it's fun news to be able to know that he can still play baseball. The ability, you know, his only comparison in his life is Babe Ruth, and that was 100 years ago. Maybe not 100 years ago, but close. And what he's doing, Babe Ruth, as great as he was, pales because he didn't play anybody. The teams were very small. The Negro League was not brought in at that point in time, so he wasn't playing all the best baseball players in the world at that time. So very interesting. 10 minutes ago, somebody sent this to me and wanted me to comment on 2023 college football coaching tiers. So they took the easy way out. It doesn't say who did this, but they took the easy way out. They gave three, 1A and 1B and 1C. And that's Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and Dabo Sweeney. So Clemson, Georgia, Alabama. Okay, so for Dabo, they're going off of the last 5 years. For Nick Saban, going off the last 3 years. Kirby Smart's on a run. They have Ryan Day on here. I get that. They have Luke Fickell on here at Wisconsin. I get it. He was at Cincinnati. They played well. I don't think Luke Fickell is at the place. The next one on here, totally flabbergasted. Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher has some of the most money and has some of the best recruits and loses three games a year. I have no idea why he's even on here. Brian Kelly's on here. Jim Harbaugh's on here. And if you go in the last if you go in the last couple of years, you know, he had to take a pay cut 4 years ago. And now he's where he's at. Jimbo Fisher, no way. Brian Kelly, no way. Lincoln Riley, SC, this is his put up year. You left Oklahoma, you had success at Oklahoma. You have a Heisman Trophy candidate. You had a Heisman Trophy winner and a candidate now. He has to put up and shut up. And Kyle Whittingham at Utah, I get that. I can't say anything. I think that's well deserved. And I think Nick Saban's well deserved. I do, and I've said for all of those groupings here, from Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan, LSU, SC. Here's the one thing that nobody's talking about, and we talk about it probably way too much, is college football is changing. Those groups that I just said were so good in college football because they had double and triple and quadruple the amount of high-end recruits in their program. Those recruits now, if they're gonna take advantage of NIL, have to play right away, not sit behind somebody. They're not all going to go there. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. Hope everybody had a great day. A little cooler out there, a little cloudy. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter. It's at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. And the website, 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins baseball tonight, Texas Rangers. Looking forward to that game tonight. They have two more Saturday and Sunday. And then next week they have the Guardians coming in on Monday, Tuesday. Huge games. Really looking forward to that over the weekend. They can either, you know, start to pull away or they're going to get sucked right back into tough baseball. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides, designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building, improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and learn more about a outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. Thank you very much to Woodman Controls. Okay, so just a couple of more little items before we move on to a little bit of talk with some baseball and some NFL football. Just a little look ahead to what we have going on for college football as well. We have Week Zero games this weekend. Notre Dame playing in Dublin. That's going to be fun. And this is kind of interesting. Which is more likely in 2023 in college football? Georgia wins three national titles in a row. Michigan beats Ohio State three times in a row. Or USC or Texas make the college football playoffs for the first time? I don't think there's any chance in the world that number three happens. I don't even think they're going to win their conferences, and I don't know about Michigan and Ohio State. The games in Ohio State, that's not an easy place. Can Georgia win three national titles in a row? They have the talent to do it. Do they have the quarterback to do it? That's going to be the interesting part of that equation. Here's one that just popped up here, too. Week one position battles on defense, Iowa State, UNI. And we have J.W. Cox coming in on Tuesday to talk specifically about that game and a little roundabout on other sports that are happening during the football season. Iowa State, it says, has an advantage at defensive tackle, defensive end, cornerback, and safety. But UNI has are the favorites at linebacker. I thought that was quite interesting. So we'll see what happens with that. Speaking of, I'm gonna hit the baseball stand here first. Once again, we are looking at a good weekend of baseball. I am now my New York Yankees. I have a buddy out there named Rob. Rob and I are Yankees fans. Maybe not Yankees fans right this very second, but that's one of those things. I am very loyal to my coaching staffs and my front office, but if this continues, they've gone from being a positive in run differential to being minus 21 in run differential. They're 36-33 at home. That's one of the worst of teams that were supposed to be good. That's one of the worst home records. They're horrible on the road. I'm very curious, and I haven't seen Rob in a while, but I have a feeling that we are getting close to going out for dinner one of these nights. We are going to have a conversation on what he thinks about these New York Yankees and what the answer is. My biggest answer is that you need to have players playing in positions that they're good at or best at, and not just sticking people places and thinking that you're going to win because you're the New York Yankees. But that being said, you know, it's not our year. It's definitely not the Boston Red Sox year. They're having the same issues. Some of the things that really interest me this year, I love the fact, and I've said it many times, it doesn't mean that the Baltimore Orioles are going to win the World Series. It doesn't mean the Baltimore Orioles are even going to win the American League East. I just like the fact that the Baltimore Orioles are winning. They're fun to watch. And a crazy thing, they are 41-24 on the road. That is the best record in baseball. And I'm going to tell you why it's happening. This is why I think it's happening. Their youngsters are having fun and no different. They don't have, I mean, I think they enjoy playing on the road. They don't have all the things that are going on. They're not at their place. They don't have different things bothering them. I think they like playing on the road. 41-24. They are 17 games over 500 on the road. And it's not an easy place to play on the road there. The best race of anybody in baseball, and three very good teams, and kind of the same in the East as well. The Central is struggling a little bit. The Minnesota Twins are the only team that's over 500. They have a 6-game lead. Like I said, they have some games they need to win coming up. They still have the Rangers, who have a better record than them, but the Rangers, the Mariners, and the Astros all have over 70 wins. The Orioles, Tampa Bay, and Toronto all have over 70 wins. And to be really honest, the Boston Red Sox are right there as well. It's going to be fun. I'm a huge baseball guy. You guys know that. I enjoy everything about baseball. I still think the Atlanta Braves are the best team in baseball. They have 8 guys on their roster that have hit over 20 home runs. They have pitching that's really, really good. They are 22 games over 500 at home. They're only 16 games over 500, but that's still a big number. It's just crazy that the Orioles, of all teams, are there. Their run differential is 214. That is 21. That's 35 more runs than the next closest team, which is the Texas Rangers. I think the best race to finish out the season is the Brewers and the Cubs and the Reds. And here's the crazy thing about that grouping. I think Cincinnati, I think they win some games because they don't know any better because of how young they are, and I think they lose some games not knowing any better. Ella De La Cruz, if I said that correctly, he's fun to watch. He had a 10-pitch at bat last night and got called out on a called third strike that was not relatively close to the strike zone that would have changed the outcome of that game. 70 wins for Milwaukee, 67 and 67 for the Cubs and the Reds. It's going to be interesting to see if Milwaukee can hang on. And the Dodgers have a 12-game lead. So the Dodgers and the Braves are kind of just, they're going to be coasting here in a sec. They're at 100 and they're at 126 games. They play, so they got 36 games left. They're going to be a little bit on cruise control. Philadelphia is finally healthy, so I think that's going to help. So it's going to be really interesting to see all the things that are, you know, that can still happen in Major League Baseball. I think the Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Toronto thing is going to be fun to watch. I can almost guarantee you that they have at least 6 to 8 games left to play against each other. The other thing we are going to talk a little bit about in this segment, just to get that, is you have week 0 games coming up, and I wanted to mention them. And I, of all things, I always do that. I think it's funny that the ESPN, because I have CBS with another story that I want to do. They put NCAA men's basketball. They put that still up there on the top heading up. It drives me crazy. So 1:30 p.m. tomorrow, Navy Notre Dame. 7 o'clock, you're going to get to see USC San Jose State. So you're going to get to see Notre Dame play. You get to see a Heisman Trophy candidate in Caleb Williams play. Thursday coming up, you have Florida, Utah. That might be one of the best games in college football all year. And then you hop into Saturday games your first slate, Iowa plays Utah State and Iowa State plays UNI. We're going to spend all next week talking about college football games coming up. We'll give you some betting angles. We'll do a lot of stuff on there. Wanted just to go over just a little bit on the schedule for the National Football League, because we're 2 weeks away from the National Football League. They're nice enough to give the NCAA a week to be on their own. But we were looking at some of these games, and the first game out is Detroit at Kansas City. I would have a totally different take on this game if that was switched and it was Kansas City at Detroit. Kansas City's going to enjoy their Super Bowl celebration. That's a tough place to play. I still think Detroit has a really, really, really good football team and is going to cause havoc. And it's crazy. You have a lot of divisional games coming right out of the chute in other ones. You have Carolina at Atlanta. Nobody's going to care about that game, but it still matters. Cincinnati at Cleveland, that matters. Especially matters for Cleveland, and it matters for Deshaun Watson. That's another topic that we'll do. That's a hot topic for Scott. Not a Deshaun Watson fan. And I'm not saying I don't blame him. I'm the Deshaun Watson that I know isn't this Deshaun Watson yet. Maybe he is now, but I don't know. Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Jacksonville on the road. Can they win on the road in a tough game? Minnesota getting Tampa Bay at home. New Orleans and Tennessee. What a game that's going to be. We're going to find out really quick. Is Derek Carr, is he a game changer? I think he can be. Is Ryan Tannehill a game changer? I do not believe that is true. Then a huge game. And after listening to people and how people are so excited about Kenny Pickett, you get that right out. San Francisco, Brock Purdy, the defense goes into Pittsburgh where Mike Tomlin doesn't lose a lot of games. That might, I think that's the game of the week, unless I can find a different one. Arizona's at Washington. Washington's winning that game. Arizona is they have a quarterback they want. My assumption is they want Caleb Williams, but some people, there's a lot of Drake May people out there, so we'll figure that one out. Baltimore might get an easier one. They get Houston. Houston is, I mean, they're rebuilding. They did a great job, and they're ready to head for the future with more picks coming, but I don't know how good that's going to be. This is going to be the one of the make-or-break games right here, and it was one of those that Green Bay last year, they Chicago went to Green Bay, kind of got beat up a little bit. Now Green Bay goes to Chicago. Jordan Love or Justin Fields? Which one's going to be better? I have my money on Justin Fields, but I don't know. Las Vegas plays at Denver. You're going to know in that first game in the first week if Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson. Did Sean Payton save Russell Wilson's career? Philadelphia at New England. Talk about a tough starting game for Bill Belichick. You're going to have headlines if they get beat and get beat bad of what are they going to do. And if New England happens to win that game, people are going to be questioning Philadelphia. The thing that people need to realize about Philadelphia, and it's a big deal, they lost five starters, even though they drafted well, and they lost two coaches. They're offensive and defensive coordinators. That is not easy to replace. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. It's not easy. I think this is a trap game for my brother from another mother, does the show with me. Miami going into the Chargers. I think the Chargers could be a really, really good football team if they had to change their coach. That's going to be interesting. The Rams play at Seattle. That's a huge game. Are the Rams back a little more healthy? Can they win that game? And Dallas going to New York. That's not an easy place to play. New York's defense, I'm telling you, Isaiah Simmons going to New York is a huge deal in that Wink Martindale defense. And can Dak win on the road? And then you have the biggest of the big. This might be the other marquee. This is the fight between San Francisco and Pittsburgh. And this is the next one. Buffalo going into New York, playing the Jets, playing Aaron Rodgers. Is Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen on the same page? Are they not on the same page? Can they protect Aaron Rodgers with that from that Buffalo front seven? Man, what a game that going to be. And that's on Monday night. The Cowboys and Giants is the late game on NBC at 7:20. That is a great opening week with a lot of marquee football games. We got one more segment on this week, this Friday. It's coming up here. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We're bringing your sports your way every day. A little potpourri and saying happy weekend right after this break. We had coming off the Iowa State Fair the week right before college football starts. And then it's 2 weeks before NFL starts. We got stuff going on. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins baseball starts at 6:30 pregame. First pitch going to be right around 7, I would assume. So looking forward to that. As always, want to thank sponsors of the show: Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broadlawns Medical Center. Could not do things without them. I'm going to give you an update on the Tour Championship, the last golf tournament of the PGA for the year. We have Ryder Cup coming up in a couple of weeks. Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland are at 16 under. Scottie Scheffler's at 14. Keegan Bradley, 13. Xander Schauffele, John Rahm at 12, Rory McIlroy at 10, and then I think you have to be within 7 shots here. So Matt Fitzpatrick, Tyrell Hatton, and Wyndham Clark are all at 9. So two rounds left. That's what happens when you get into a smaller field. So that's going to be really exciting for the weekend. Let's see here. I want to do this. KGGO had this on their website today or on social media today. It's near and dear to my heart as well. This week on Inside Iowa, they had a cost estimate out there. What taxpayers pay to care for those people that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. By the year 2050, so in 27 years, it's going to be over $1 trillion. Walk to Wind Alzheimer's is Saturday, September 30th. I lost my father to Alzheimer's. Having that gene in your family and prevalent in your family is not exciting. And this is something that I want to get behind as well. So we'll talk more about that as we go along. And this is part of that. And I think I read this and it reminded myself of me. I'm at the age where my mind still thinks I'm 29. My humor that I find funny thinks I'm 12, while my body mostly keeps asking if I'm sure I'm not dead yet. That is the age that I am at this current time. That's a picture of me as we speak. College football came out with who they think their top offensive gurus are in college football. Lincoln Riley. I buy into that to a certain extent. Ryan Day, I buy into that as well. Both of them, the majority of these folks, I do believe, are why they are going to be college coaches, because the same philosophy that they have on offense doesn't necessarily work when you go to the NFL. Josh Heupel from Tennessee is next. He was number three. Chip Kelly at UCLA. I believe that too. Lane Kiffin, I believe that one, at Ole Miss. Bobby Petrino, that's the only reason the guy keeps getting jobs, is because of his offensive mind. Garrett Riley, he took over at Clemson. Jonathan Smith is at Oregon State. Everybody talks about him. Cliff Kingsbury just went to SC. I do not consider him to be that, but we'll figure out. And Jed Fish at Arizona. That is who they believe are some of the top offensive gurus in college football. And I think one of the things that states is the difference between maybe some of them is they don't have to have the most talent. It's a lot like what we have in the NFL. You have some coaches in the NFL that can scheme their way to offense. Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan. There's quite a few of them, and it's interesting to always go through all of that. I like this today too. This is one of the things that we write. It's a business thing that we do as well. It is that 1% beats 0%, and it says progress isn't always obvious, but consistency compounds. If you're at your house and you can't clean up the whole room, he says, clean up a corner. If you can't do all the dishes, do a dish. If you can't get in the shower, wash your face. If always look for a thing you can do with energy and focus. You little wins pave the way for bigger wins. That was a horribly read segment there, and I apologize for that, but it's interesting that doing small things, and one of the things that we talk about at my work is doing just, even if you're coming towards the end of the day, just do one more thing, because it's one less thing that you have to do tomorrow. And even if you're halfway through your day, if you're like, man, I'm struggling, I want to go to lunch, do one more thing. Maybe that makes you come back and do five more things after lunch. I really, truly believe in all of that. Mookie Betts in August, 21 games. He hit 463. Slugging percentage was 5.6, or no, on-base percentage was 5.16. Slugging percentage was 8.17. He had scored 24 runs, had 8 doubles, had 7 home runs, had 21 RBIs, 67 total bases, 69 errorless innings at second base, 103 errorless innings in right field. He plays everywhere. And he was 18-3. And going from one of my favorite players to watch in baseball to one of my favorite players, or two players in this, the best scoring averages in PGA Tour history this century. So it's the 2000s. Tiger Woods at 67-8 in 2007. In 2000, he was 68-1 in 2001. He was 68-1 in 2006. He was 68-4 in 2003. And Scottie Scheffler was 68.5 in 2023. His best scoring average, and Scottie Scheffler was one of the worst putters on the PGA Tour. Just think about that, folks. If he would have putted a little bit better. Giving a little shout out to Jets defensive rookie Will McDonald IV. He's had 7 quarterback pressures. His pass grade rate has been over 80%, and his pass rush win rate is over 18%. He's having a really, really, really good preseason. And hopefully he carries that on. Ryder Cup, I said that already. Ryder Cup starts in 2 weeks. It's one of my favorite things. This is one of the probably biggest underdog roles that the United States has had in a while. There are a lot of really good European players playing a lot of really good golf. Once again, talking a little bit about Shohei Ohtani. He does have an ulnar tear in his elbow. He's going to be reevaluated. He's hitting tonight for the Angels. I think he's not going to pitch anymore for the rest of the season. I think they're going to wait and see what happens, if it might fix itself. I doubt it, but you know, you can always try. So we'll see what happens, but it's always a difficult thing. And even though he doesn't play in the field and he DHs, and now that you can DH in both parks and in both leagues, it's hard to, I said this to my son when he went to play college, but it's hard, college baseball, it is hard to try to work on two crafts at the same time. And there's nothing that you do while trying to be a great hitter that is exactly the same as trying to be a great pitcher. They almost are a detriment to each other. And the simple fact that he has done it at such a high level, but you see the cost that is apparent to your body when you do things like that. It's there. It's real. And you just throwing a baseball in general is not what either your left or your right arm or wrist or elbow or shoulder was meant to do on this earth. I mean, it's just not something that it was ready to go. And I still believe one of the best things that happened today, and let me, because I cannot remember for the life of me his first name, so his name is Noah Lyles. He became the first person since... he won the 100 and the 200, and it is an incredible, incredible accomplishment for him. You've been listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Be back next week, a full week. See you then.